Hi, and welcome to Unfailing Love with Kim. If you haven't got your coffee yet, you know the drill. Put me on pause, and I'll meet you on the couch. Hi, and welcome back to Unfailing Love with Kim. I have our scripture reference, our scripture for the week, our passage. It is found in James chapter 3, starting at verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. That was James chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Hi, and welcome back to Unfailing Love with Kim. Today we are going to go back into the same podcast we were working on last week because I did not get through half of it. Pretty close to half, but not half. It was entitled, You Just Don't Understand. And I titled it that because everything that I talked to you guys about making changes and being the first to make the changes and all of that, if you're still in that place, you just don't understand, then you're not ready to take the steps to make it better. And I'm telling you, I do understand. I may not know exactly what's happening in your home. First of all, if there's physical or sexual abuse, you need to get help. This podcast is not meant to handle that. That is a much bigger issue than anything we can do here. Because the person hurting you, or if you're the person hurting the other spouse, you need help. You need to get some counseling, some good Christian counseling, and then possibly, depending on how that goes and the situation and the healing that might happen, you may be able to come back to the marriage. But what I'm talking about are things like verbal abuse, emotional abuse, intimidation, insults, put downs. That was our daily thing. At least if he was home, because he's a truck driver, so he was gone a lot back then. Didn't have a run like now where he gets home every night, but he would be gone for a week at a time, and that week would be pleasant for both of us because we wouldn't have to deal with each other. So I do understand. I understand how bad it can be because I lived it, and my children lived it. And my husband lived it. And we are through on the other side. And I always recommend that people who are new to the podcast go back and listen to our story in season 1, episodes 7 and 8. And then in episode 9, I interview my husband about our story. And then I believe it's episode 26, 27, I interviewed my son about what he lived through and what that has brought him through, because he's now married, just had his second child early this morning. Congratulations, Devin and Kim. And he is just beautiful. Of course, some people would say that's because I'm his grandma, but he is. He's absolutely perfect. So those are some areas where you can go and you can see where I'm coming from when I talk about these things, that I'm not just, oh, here, let me give you advice, but I don't understand because my life has been good all this time. No, we lived a miserable life for a long time. And then God intervened. And who knows that God can do anything? And he did. So we're going to go into the next part of this podcast that I was working on. Got partway through. So here's the next question that people sometimes ask. How long do I have to love him or her when I'm getting nothing in return? right? How long? Because it's hard being rejected when you are putting out the effort. I don't really know that from experience, but my husband does. Because for a year, I rejected him when he came home changed. But looking back on it now, he literally left the house to go to a men's retreat, one person, and came back a different person. God did such a miraculous change on him. But that was just the beginning. He said he didn't even notice I was rejecting him because he was working on what God was telling him to do and working on that relationship as well as loving me. But it took a year before I turned it around. So know that you're going to feel rejected. You are going to feel rejected. But when you do, go to your knees. And don't go to your friends or your family. We talked a little bit about this last week. Don't go to your friends and family and say, oh, he's just so horrible. This is what he does. And never, ever, ever put your husband down to someone else. Now, I said in the beginning of this does not include any kind of physical or sexual abuse. Yes, tell somebody and get some help. But if it is verbal, emotional, insults, that kind of thing, if you start loving that other person, because you guys are both doing it, you know you are. It's not just him or her, it's you. And it's time to change that. And the question is, one of the questions is, why me first? Why do I have to do it first? And the answer is because somebody has to. If you're the one listening to this podcast, then it's you. If you're both listening to the podcast, wouldn't it be awesome if it was both of you? But you have to love regardless. So the question was, how long do I love him or her when I'm getting nothing in return? Well, first of all, you're loving regardless. You're loving regardless of what they're doing, what they're feeling, what they're saying, what you're feeling. You're doing it regardless. You love regardless. In Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22, it says, then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as 7 times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you 7 times, but 77 times. So he's not saying that you have just this many times to do it. He's saying that you need to be forgiving every single time and you need to love them regardless. That's where the change happens. We need to learn also to love ourselves, right? If we truly loved ourselves, we probably wouldn't act like children in our relationships, stomping our foot, demanding our own way. Right? So I didn't actually put the scripture in here, but at one point Jesus says, love others as yourself. So if you don't love yourself, how can you love others? So maybe the journey begins with you learning to love yourself. But by doing that, while you're learning to love yourself, if you're loving your spouse through action, it will begin to make you feel better about yourself and you'll begin to love yourself more. I guess it's right here. Matthew 22, 34 through 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So right there, it says, love your neighbor as yourself. So if you aren't loving yourself very well, you're probably not loving your neighbor very well. And I take this to mean people around you, not just the people in your direct neighborhood. But maybe people at work, friends and family. So we need to get ourselves to where we're loving ourselves so that we can love others. But we don't have to wait till that, because that loving of others will bring about that love of ourselves. here's another question, because it's one I asked. How do I know if my marriage is worth saving when everyone is telling me I should just file for divorce and start over? Let's talk about what the Bible says about divorce, first of all. In Matthew 19, 3 through 8, and the Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? He answered, have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female? And said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. They said to him, why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce to send her away? He said to them, because of your hardness of heart, Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. So, yes, there's a place where he says, except for sexual immorality. But that's a reason if you're going to get divorced. But God never wanted us to get divorced. We were brought together as one flesh, and let no man separate, because God brought us together. So we are not called to divorce. Now, if you have divorced in your past, you are forgiven for that. But in this relationship, you need to put in everything you can to make it work. Everything. And that means that you need to love your spouse with action, with word. You need to love him or her regardless of how you feel, how he reacts, how she reacts. You just need to love them. Also, we always are, when we're in a bad relationship and we share with others, they jump on our side, right? Oh, what a jerk he is, or what a witch she is, right? They jump on our side. But it isn't what they are telling you to do. Here's what Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for man. So you need to be loving your spouse regardless, and you need to be doing it for God, right? You need to be doing it for him, not even for your spouse, but certainly not for those who are butting their nose into your relationship. Now, granted, you probably invited several of them into that place because it made you feel better. So I'm just going to go through some things, some ways that you can love your spouse, because I have people ask me that sometimes. And maybe you could make them a special meal. Or if you usually don't get up to make them breakfast, you could get up and make a breakfast for them. You could leave an uplifting note for them to find. Could send them flowers or a favorite treat. Give compliments and thank them for, I'm sure you can find one thing that you can thank them for. Don't yell and fight. Pray yourself through discussing something calmly and peacefully. If you don't rise to that place of yelling and screaming, it's amazing what that calm, quiet voice what effect that can have on another person. Speak nothing negative. That is the biggest, first, always, everyday thing. Don't speak negative about your marriage or your spouse. And that's hard to do. But that's an everyday thing. You start with that, and you do it day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 879, and on. However many days you have with each other. Do a chore that they usually do, like maybe dishes or mopping, mowing the lawn, paying the bills. Or if you've been not involved in the bills, in the finances, sit down with your spouse and say, I want to take some of that load off for you. Can I help you? And if they become really defensive, it may be because the finances are not what you're thinking they are. They might be much worse. And then you need to talk them through that. You know what? We have messed a lot of stuff up, and I'm sure our finances are part of it. But together, the two of us with God, we can turn it all around. So let me come in and help you. Let's talk about it. Let's work it out. And again, during that time, don't raise your voice. Offer them a massage. Long day at work, shoulders, neck, back are sore. Give them a massage. Try to learn something that they enjoy. I have tried. Honey, I'm sorry. I tried to learn a computer game that he plays, and it just made absolutely no sense to me. And I was just getting frustrated with it. So that one kind of didn't happen. But he's really good about coming every once in a while and just sitting down and watching a Hallmark movie with me, because he knows I enjoy that. I'm not a big fan of going on long drives, but I know that he loves that. You would think, being a truck driver, he drove enough during the week, but every once in a while on a weekend, I'll say, let's just go for a drive. Let's just go, see where we end up. And that means a lot to him, because he knows I don't really enjoy it, but I enjoy my company with him, my time with him. If they're working hard, bring them a special lunch that maybe you can share with them depending on their job. Just ideas. This is a big one. When you talk with your spouse, really listen. Get rid of distractions. Your phone, tablet, computer, TV, etc. Look into his or her eyes the entire conversation, and remember, no negative talk. And then reply to what he said in a loving way. This is something that my husband did when he first came back from this retreat. Well, he didn't do it this way. We were in bed and he said, okay, so I went to this conference and they told me that I should ask you about everything that I do that annoys you or upsets you or frustrates you. And I looked at him, I said, are you sure you want to hear this? And he said, yes. And we both are pretty sure it was hours later that he was telling me, I don't know if I can do it all, but I will do my best to do some. So instead of getting overwhelmed by too much to try and fix, I recommend you ask them for 10 things that annoy them about you, that frustrate them about you, that really gets them upset, whatever. And listen without interruption or excuses. So when they say something, you don't get to make an excuse of why that happened. You just lay there and you listen, or you sit there and you listen. And then you work to do them all, those 10. Once you've done those 10, the best you can, ask for 10 more. And then 10 more. Until you can tell that you are on a different trajectory of where you had been with your marriage. You don't have to have a lot of money to do something for your spouse or do something with your spouse. Play a board game or a card game together. But be cautious of becoming too competitive, because you want this to be a fun, lighthearted, enjoyable time. Plan a date night together. You can have a candlelit dinner at home if money's tighter, or go for a walk and a picnic lunch at a local park. There's lots of things you can do that don't cost much money. The idea is to talk and listen to each other and laugh together. Begin a devotion together, pray together, read the Bible together, attend church together. Now, I know that you or your spouse may not be ready to do these right off the bat, but when you feel like things are getting better, maybe just suggest the devotion together. And then after you get a ways down the devotion, offer to pray before or after. And then maybe Say, hey, I was just reading the scripture the other day. Can I share it with you? And then when you're ready, and I hope it's soon, try and find a Bible-believing, gospel-focused church and attend. And never let up. Love your spouse every single day. And I'm talking about that action. This is a lifelong process which you committed to. I want to give you a couple shouts out to some books that I think would be helpful to you. One of them that my husband and I did together, and it's a devotion. So when you get to that devotion point, it's called Love Dare Devotion for Couples by Stephen and Alex Kendrick. They also have The Love Dare by Stephen and Alex Kendrick. And then there's The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman, because if the way you're loving them isn't the way their love language is, then you're missing the mark. So it's good to find out what each other's love languages are. Love and Respect by Emerson Eggerichs. It's important, very important that you love and respect your spouse. And I know where you're at right now. You can't imagine getting there, but I'm telling you, you will if you keep this up. And if you have not watched Fireproof the movie, I highly suggest it. It came out after mine and my husband's transformation, I guess. But it's actually what our life was. It's what we went through. So I suggest if you have some time, maybe watch it together. So I am going to give, that's all we have for today, but I'm going to give some housekeeping so you know how to get a hold of me. You can email me at unfailinglovewithkim@gmail.com. You can reach me on Facebook at unfailinglovewithkim. You can leave a voicemail for me on the Anchor app or at anchor.fm/unfailinglovewithkim. Or you can call this phone number 509-582-5085. You can leave a message there and I check it daily. So I had somebody leave me a message on Anchor and it was so sweet and so encouraging. And thank you, Mercedes. It meant the world to me. And so I am looking forward to hearing from you. If you have questions, if you have comments, if you just want to leave a message, that would be wonderful, whichever way form you use. So I'm going to go ahead and pray us out of here. Father God, I am so grateful that you pulled Jim and I out of this disaster of marriage we were in. And I thank you that you have allowed us to use that to help others. That we know your unfailing love is the greatest. And although we may not be able to reach that ourselves, we can come close by just trying to give that love that doesn't require anything in return. That's what unconditional love is. So, Lord, I ask you to be with each of the marriages that are hearing this, whether it's one partner or two. If they're hearing this, I ask you just to be with them and help them in this journey of a happy marriage, of a joy-filled marriage, of a marriage with hope and a future. One that's focused around you. One that is complete in you. I praise you and I glorify you. In your mighty name, amen. Have a great week, and I will see you back here next Friday.